Okay. Coming up on TMS, baby names you should never use.
A reminder that Oscar time is coming up quick.
Cow farts destroy a dairy farm.
The State of the Union had some duck callers in the audience.
At least one. Motley Crue signed a death pact.
Bieber had an intervention.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I told two friends about Fabergé organic shampoo with pure wheat germ oil and honey, and they told two friends, and so on.
Hey, that's not Fabergé organic shampoo.
It isn't? It's an imitator. They're not all the same.
So be sure it's Fabergé.
For super body, super shine, and super fresh-smelling hair, get the one and only Fabergé Organic Shampoo.
You'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, now you got it, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Fabergé Organic Shampoo and Conditioner with pure wheat germ oil and honey.
What did I tell you?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Strong enough for a man, but made for Brian Ibbett. I can't believe you made me say that. You're mean.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. January ran away like a stuck pig.
Right, like a runaway truck stop.
What's a stuck pig? I always heard that phrase. What is that?
Well, it's squealing like a stuck pig. Like if you stick a pig.
What does that mean? Squeal, poke it with a stick or something?
Yeah, like poke it with a needle or a pin or a knife or a...
I have never heard that phrase in my life.
Squealing like a stuck pig.
I mean, I've heard the phrase, but I've never heard... Yeah. I've never understood the origin story.
Well, I think it's just, you know, I mean, it's not something you would do. You wouldn't stick a pig.
Yeah,
but if you did, that's what that squealing would sound like.
Okay, squeal like a stuck pig.
That's right.
Maybe it means a stuck pig, like it's stuck in the little gateway thing to get where it needs to go. Do you know what I'm saying?
Could be. Yeah, for some reason, I always thought it was it had to do with impalement, but it certainly could have something to do with trapped.
Yeah, like trapped. We can't get the pig out of the chute. Some kind of chute.
Right.
And there you go. We learned something today, folks. I hope we have.
That's right. People are saying when you spear a pig. By the way, the audio stream is not running right now. Did you?
Oh, isn't it? That's not
the Alpha Geek stream.
That seems unfortunate. Oh, now it's in. We're good.
Okay,
we're back.
Okay, good.
All right. That change I made screwed that up. Sorry, folks, on the Alpha Geek radio stream. So look, it's the week of technical travails. We've had some issues. We're working through them. We think we've got a pretty good solution today. Although my video wants to be dumb for some reason, but
yeah.
We'll work it all out in the end. Exactly. Don't worry. But we're back. We're actually back on Skype. So hello, Skype. It's good to be back, I suppose. but there's video, so people watching live are getting that, and we'll still put these up on YouTube for those who enjoy watching us make the sausage each and every day. So watch for that as well.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's the situation with Stuck Pig. Thanks to Irony Man. Please, Irony Man, whatever you do, don't send me a video or a photo.
Yeah, don't animate this, dude.
Pigs are hung upside down and stuck in the throat with a pig sticker to bleed them out.
Oh, that's sticking a pig? Then I don't want to be a stuck pig, ever.
No, I do not either.
I mean, no offense.
Oy.
That sounds pretty terrible to me. And I wish I'd never heard it. All right, great.
Okay.
Let's move on. Do people do that still?
That's probably the most barbaric axiom we've ever had.
I mean, and when I eat a nice pulled pork sandwich or bacon or something,
yeah,
I don't really think about how it went down, you know? Like, I don't think about how that pig saw its final minutes. But I can only assume, I mean, what's a modern pig slaughterhouse do these days? Does anyone know? Do they hang them up like that and stick them with a stick?
Who knows? I don't think I do want to know. Because I think it'll affect my enjoyment of said pulled pork sandwich.
This is the reason my daughter became a vegetarian. These are the reasons right here.
Yeah.
I wish she was more of a healthitarian and quit eating so much crap. Oh, my video turned off.
Mine did too.
That's wonderful.
Skype.
Thanks, Skype. We'll just keep tweaking it throughout the day. Do what we got to do.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
We see it go off and we'll be able to deal with it right away.
I really don't understand that, but whatever. I'll let that go
just,
for now.
It just all of a sudden says, okay, no more.
There's not even an error. It's just, we're done.
It might be a bandwidth issue. I wonder if
I got plenty of pipe over here. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. But even if one, but even if you went off, I shouldn't go off.
Right.
So
right.
I don't, and the other machine's not running it, so I don't know. Whatever. Hey, look at us talking about tech again. We're going to move on. Listen to this, everybody.
Yes.
I met a set of parents the other day who had a really weird name for their kid. I'm not going to say it because it's so weird. I think you could find it, and I don't want to expose them in that way.
I see what you're saying. Yep. Right.
But it got me to thinking about weird parent. Or parents giving kids weird names. And we were on the Nerd Parents podcast yesterday with Nicole Spag, who will be on today.
Yeah.
Kim and I don't know when that one airs. I think it's maybe next week or maybe sooner. I don't know. But it was really fun. Kim and I on the mic talking. You've been there. It's fun. It's good times.
It is. Very good times.
Talking about parenting and, you know, different methods to the madness and all that. And so all of this got me to thinking about kids' names, both good and bad. Brian, Scott, pretty easy, common.
Pretty standard. Yeah, right.
Rolls off the tongue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian rolls off the tongue, everybody. You heard it here. So it got me to thinking about some of the bad ones, and specifically some of the really bad ones given out in 2013 on a regular basis. And I'm here to present you with the worst 2013, because it's still January. We can talk about last year's problems. The worst names of 2013. These are actual baby names on the record, Brian.
Oh, God. Okay.
For girls, let's start with girls.
Okay.
Blip. B-L-I-P. Or sorry, B-L. Yeah, B-L-I-P.
Uh-huh.
It's a robot noise, and I don't know why you would choose that, but apparently that was a popular girl name, Blip.
Right.
Blip Johansson. Blip Anderson. That's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Duda. That's D-U-D-A.
Duda. Okay.
Some people think
like it could be, you know, it could be like a foreign name, Duda.
Duda, yeah, like Duda von Hyman Smack.
Sure, yeah, right.
Von Hyman Smack. What am I doing? Eternity. All right.
Eternity.
That one I really don't like, just on the basis of that's annoying.
Right.
It's a fine word, and I get the meaning, and it's kind of pretty. But it's just, it's what are you trying to do to your kid?
It's funny because the name Destiny, I think, is okay.
Yeah.
But Eternity, which is along the same lines as far as like a word that has been turned into a name, I don't like that as much.
I don't either.
Hey, Eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Eternity.
Hey, Destiny.
How long have you been dating Eternity? That sounds wrong. here's another one. Fairy, feline, or flower. These F words, these F names.
That's funny. Fairy, feline, flower.
Yeah, I don't like those. Justice, but it's spelled J-U-S-T-U-S.
Oh, geez.
I don't like that at all.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I'd say that every time I was in her hall, in her house.
Exactly. Where's your bathroom? Down the hall. Okay, thanks. And then you walk in the hall. Meanwhile.
I took a dump in the Hall of Justice. For boys, here's your boy names.
Okay.
Danish. Okay. All right.
Danish. All right.
Like the kind you'd eat, you know?
Well, or somebody from Denmark.
Yeah. But still, that's all I'd think of.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bagel. Not bagel. Poppy seed roll. I mean, may as well, right?
Right.
Jag.
Oh, see, that's bad because I think that's used as a derogatory term. Oh, look at that jag.
Yeah, you're that jag off.
Yeah, jag off. Yeah, that, yeah. That's. Yeah.
Can you? I realize it's probably a distasteful thing to say to somebody. But what's the origin of that? I don't understand the jag part. I know the other, you know, the other spelling. the beanstalk grower.
Right.
I know
right.
that one.
But Jagoff?
I don't understand that.
I think that's just an alternate form of Jack.
Someone look that up and we'll find out. It's like, that's slang for hanging a donkey upside down and sticking it with a knife or something.
Yeah, I don't think there's a different definition for Jagoff than there is for, you know, it is the funniest thing. I mean, basically, it's, I don't know why we're not saying it on this show.
We may as well. Jack off. There.
Right. I don't think there's any difference between jag off and jack off.
Yeah. One of them seems more like an angry old Southern guy might yell it at you, and it's more somehow a little more quaint.
Sure.
But if someone says the other one, the beanstalk one, it seems like you want to fight. Like,
right.
Let's fight.
Right.
All right. Also, jag off is what CBS originally said when they canceled Jag. Remember, right. Jag was a thing.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Kambala, didn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kashmir.
This
is a Kashmir run. What's that? What's that song?
That's Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that was the name of that song.
Yeah, it's the one. You can't trust Led Zeppelin to name their songs anything like... actually, that at least Kashmir does appear in the lyrics, yeah. Unlike Black Dog.
Mm.
And
good point.
Yeah. Bronyar Stomp.
I always like a song with a name. As much as I realize that people want to rebel against the norm, I like it when the name of the song is in the music. Because then I can recognize it. Otherwise, what's the point? 20 years from then, you're like, what's the name of that Pink Floyd song? I don't know.
Right. Can I tell you how much I love our tadpole? Chaos Child says that, and Austin, Texas, says that Jagoff is an American derogatory slang term, gotta scroll back down, for Pittsburgh English, meaning a person who is stupid or inept.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look at that then.
So it's...
Well, that's great.
So it's, if you're given a... if you're wanting to be rude to someone who's a Steelers fan, you would call them a Jagoff.
Mm. I can understand that. You know, the Tadpool, they are a damn distracting bunch of freaks. They really are. We love you, guys.
We do love you. God love you.
Kaz, K-A-Z-Z. That's either a name or an upcoming sports team in Utah. I can't tell which. Because you got the double
Z's. Utah Kaz, yep. Right.
Finally, Rocket. Rocket was a popular name this year. Do not call that kid Rocket.
Rocket.
Unless he lives in a pocket.
Rocket Jones.
Yeah, Rocket Jones, right?
Rocket McGillicuddy. Yeah, they're not good.
No, don't do that. All right, so there's that. I thought those were interesting.
What do you think the worst celebrity, celebrity child name is?
Probably Moon.
A Moon Unit? Yeah. It's Moon not Zappa. Just Moon. It's Moon Unit.
Yeah, Moon Unit's even worse than just Moon Zappa. But,
right.
I would say...
Dweezil.
Dweezil's pretty bad if we want to keep it in the... keep it in the family.
In the Zappa family. Zowie Bowie.
Zoe. Is it Zowie or Zoe?
Zoe. I don't know if it's Zowie or Zoe. It's probably Zoe, but...
I prefer Zowie now that you say it.
You see that and you want to pronounce it Zowie.
Yeah.
Apple.
Yeah, Apple's pretty bad. I'm trying to think. There are definitely worse ones.
Do you see what Skype is doing to our video on Twitter? There we go. We had our video overlaid by our avatars a second ago.
Yeah, a giant eyeball and and your thing with the shiny right. Behind you thing going on.
Right.
I should probably put a real photo of me in case this keeps happening. I did notice that the video only when I had just mine going and yours was off for a while. Mm-hmm. No issues. It's only when we're both in, so maybe there's something with that.
That's funny.
We'll dig
into
it.
That's really funny. Yeah, we should actually screenshot our videos now and put those
in. We should do that. Scott's wearing the same shirt again today. What's going on?
All right.
If there's anything in the world more distracting than the Chad pool, I'd argue that Skype is it today, you damn piece of software. Come on, Microsoft, what's going on?
Damn distracting piece of app.
There you go. Get your Oscar votes in now. A reminder that you still have some time to get into tiny.cc/TMSOscars and vote for who you think's going to win. We'll send a prize package to the most winningest of all of you. And that's still the thing you can do today. That's tiny.cc/TMSOscars. Just a reminder. And it got me to thinking about the game this weekend.
Yes, sure. Well, but real quickly, though, votes, come on. Votes are when you elect
votes.
Get your Oscar picks. You're not, you're, what you choose on that form will have no bearing on which name gets read.
No.
On
that envelope does not depend on tadpole Sunday. Participation at all.
A month from Sunday. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But we want to send you something cool. So participate,
yes,
won't
your picks
you?
In. Okay, I'm sorry. So go ahead.
You're fine. Scott and Brian are going to bet on the game this weekend.
Yeah.
Now,
who are you going to vote for to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to vote for, I want to vote for your team. If I could vote, but I know that I'm probably going to have to pick the other side because you can't do anything but Denver.
Yeah, I have to do Denver. It's
ingrained. It's the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
And
if we were both in Denver, then we could fight about it. But
and we could do spreads and other stuff. But I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
Here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna pick Denver. We're gonna make this simple. You pick Denver. I pick Seattle, just for the sake of picking it for this contest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in the end, here's the rule. If I win, you have to sing a song on the air.
Okay. One, of your choosing.
Yeah, one stanza of one song of my choosing.
Okay.
if I win or you win, same deal goes for me. You pick a song and I have to sing it on the air in front of everybody.
You know, for you, it might be pretty easy to figure out what song I'm going to make you sing.
Uh-oh, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Then good. Then I won't say anything, yes.
You got what I need? Is it that song?
It wouldn't be that one, no.
Okay, I like that song. I don't know what I would pick for you yet, but I think it's a good thing. So we'll do this Monday after the dust has settled, and whoever comes out victorious will make the other person sing a song on the air in an embarrassing fashion.
Cool.
And I'm very much looking forward to it.
And, you know, speaking of the spread, I wanted to go online and really quickly take a look at what the spread is. Mm. It's Seahawks only by a point.
That's all? Jeez.
That's all. It's this has got to be one of the closest spread Super Bowls, at least that I've been paying attention to the spread. But, yeah, the opening line is Seahawks minus one.
Well, there you have it then.
Yeah.
Let's hope that your team, the fantastic Buffalo Bills, continue their run.
Let's hope, because I did make a bet with Chinbeard for 50 push-ups.
Did
I did not
really?
Say I would do them all at one time. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we did it here on the show. 50 push-ups, but if the Broncos win, he has to eat a deep-fried Twinkie.
All right. Fair enough, everybody. You heard it here first. We're making this deal happen. Let's get straight on into something we like to do right here. Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
On April 5th, 2012, my email to Wendy's Therapy Thursday segment was read. A lot of helpful things were said. Above all, was the sentiment that I should keep myself busy with creative things. So I did. I made a rap album. Tales from the Canopy is a synthy, wordy journey through my self-doubt and issues with mortality, as well as nerdy references to movies, TV shows, and video games. Visit slothrap.bandcamp.com and listen to the whole album for free and or buy it for as low as $1. That's slothrap at Bandcamp. Slothrap.bandcamp.com.
Sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, it does.
Love hearing people doing creative things with their time. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
The hell, man? What's going on?
I don't know. Hello. I can hear you this time.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, that's the whole idea here. We got some sound coming through now. We were anxious to make it so that was easier and not fumble around with Daryl for 10 minutes every time we called him. So... That's what we're doing. It's good to see you, man. Or not really see you, because you're not on video. But it's nice to hear you. You doing all right? You doing okay?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. That makes me happy.
Oh, good.
Well, Daryl, it's time for you to answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. You come on the show, and you do it every damn time. We've done it since really the second week of the show's airing back in 2011, those heady days.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Red Dead Redemption was only 12 months old. That's how I mark time.
Is that how you, that's how you do it?
Yeah, because... Okay. That's one of the greatest video games ever created. And why not use that as my marker of time? Daryl, it's a hard trivia question about the next generation. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. Have handy that Burritos de Coco featuring the lovable character Prody. Have that handy.
Prody.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where is that? Oh, there he is.
Or as I like to say on the back, Producto or Google Cemente Hondurino.
Sure. I think you just go Prody.
Yeah, it expires 4/5/2014, so we're good here. We're good.
Mm. Okay. So when this is horrible, we can't blame it on it being expired.
No, we can't. Okay. We can blame it on listeners who want to torture us. That's what we can do. In the Next Generation episode, The Icarus Factor, Picard informs Commander Riker that he has been offered command of his own ship. What ship is offered to Riker in this episode? Is it the USS Melbourne? Is it the USS Drake? Is it the USS Ares? Or is it the USS Titan? So that's the Melbourne, the Drake, the Ares, or the Titan. I don't know if any of those sound familiar, but it doesn't matter yet. Because before all of that...
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's try a burritas de coco. I assume that means chocolate, right?
I'm thinking so, yeah, and I'm not sure what burritos.
I don't either. There's a peanut mascot on it, so I assume there's peanuts in it.
Right.
He looks like an uncircumcised penis, by the way. So I don't know what's going on there. On the back, it says something about vanilla on the back. Cocoa, azúcar, vanilla, E Aceto Citrico, I assume that's citrus acid, and Como Acunilate.
Acidulante.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, though.
It sounds better than what I said, so I think you're right. Okay. So
chocolate, sugar, vanilla, and then a bunch of stuff that they're not going to even mention. Here's the weird, it's like really difficult to get one of these out of here. Oh, here we go.
They're in individually wrapped things.
Yes, once you undo both sides.
See that, people? Oh, look at that thing right there.
It's like a little turd. It's like a little food Lego. Oh, yeah. My camera's off again.
Yeah, you can lick it for Cleo.
Mm, it smells good.
Yeah. Actually, it does. Very coconutty, though, right?
Yeah, I love coconut. So yeah,
I'm not a big fan of coconut, but I can deal with it.
Although it doesn't say it has coconut.
I think on the back it does. Yeah, I think that cocoa is the... Maybe that's the short for coconut.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not Honduran. I couldn't tell you. I have a friend who went to Honduras for something, and he brought back really nice coats. That was the big thing. Really cheaply made, you know, cheaply bought, right, but very well-made coats. All right, here we go. Let's give it a shot.
Mm, chewy.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, not a very good chewing voice, but...
Yeah, it's like a coconut... It's like a Mounds if you sucked out all of the moisture.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you feel like a dry reed that doesn't taste much like a candy bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all right.
Mm-hmm. It's better than the Band-Aid and the hockey puck.
No, the pus packets we had yesterday were the worst things ever made. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm marking it as the least favorite thing that I've ever had ever.
Me too.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Yep, Frozen Falcon confirms that cocoa is coconut, so...
Okay. What do they call cocoa, then?
Probably cocao, isn't it?
Cocao? What's cocaine, then?
It's cocaine in every language.
Oh, well then, good. Stupid video. Let's do it again.
Chocolato.
All right, well, there you go. We're happy to have done it, and it has prepared us physically for finding out whose birthday it is today. So, Daryl, who are we celebrating today?
Oh, that was good. That would be, actually today we're celebrating the birthday that I said yesterday because I goofed. Mm. So whoever that was, happy birthday today to them.
Whoever that was, the 39-year-old guy that wrote something big.
Oh, yeah, Futurama.
Yeah, Futurama guy.
And so yesterday, or today, I will do yesterday's birthday.
Okay.
Yesterday, it was Arnold Moss's birthday.
You know what? Yesterday's birthday was my favorite original series episode. Yeah. That was really good. Anyway, sorry. Arnold Moss. Who's he?
Yeah, he was Anton Caridian and Kodos, the executioner on the TOS episode, The Conscience of the King.
Nice. Kodos.
I recognize this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big old long aquiline face.
Brian likes to look up those dudes, which I like.
I do. I like to see the...
A little behind the scenes business there. Well, great. Happy birthday to both those people on the wrong days. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Let's get back to your question. One of these ships is not like the others. It's where Picard told Riker he was going to go serve on this ship, and for a brief moment he thought he was going to, but ended up not doing it. Was it the Melbourne, the Drake, the Ares, or the Titan?
I have really not much of an idea. Mm. It wasn't the Drake, because he was on that way before, I think.
Okay.
And Melbourne. Melbourne sounds familiar, but I think it's kind of in the same thing as the Drake, where he was already there or something.
He'd previously served on it?
I think so. Mm. I'm sure a million people are telling me, no, that's all wrong, but...
Isn't there an episode where he's like, his old captain comes to visit and it turns out he's a total jackass now or something? And Riker has to, you know, break free from his notions of who his old captain was and accept the fact that he sucks and then... Does that
really
sound familiar?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Seems like a Star Trek thing to do.
I think that was the Melbourne one. And the Drake is when Riker says it's a good ship. Lollipop or something. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the one.
The captain of the Drake is there, and well, never mind.
All right.
That was the episode Pegasus, according to Jester.
Oh. That's the one with Odama decides to attack it after a while because Mole Face is really mean on it. Right. Oh, wait, wrong series. Although she was on Star Trek.
She was? Who was she?
Ro, dude. Ends in Ro.
Oh, her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not... I don't... Am I not in that part of BSG yet? I guess.
Oh,
not.
You probably aren't. That's some good stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That whole Pegasus storyline is fantastic. It's rough, though, Brian. That noise from Brian is accurate.
Yeah.
It's a rough piece of business.
Yeah. Dark period.
Dark period. That's a terrible Marvel character. It's one of the worst. One of the worst Marvel heroes of all time is Dark Period. Brian would normally laugh at that, but I think he's reading the chat.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That's what I like about video, actually, is I can tell when Brian's being distracted by you bunch of damn distracting freaks.
Iron Man said that the Drake is the one where Riker gets married so he can get a big screen TV. And I was replying, oh, yeah, love the Drake.
Yeah, that's
How
pretty good.
Love the Drake.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, and I'm picking the Seahawks, not only because I live here, but because my dad helped name the team.
Yeah.
If they lose, are you willing to sing something?
Yeah. Well, I'll sing something.
He
even
needs
if
to sing the original lyrics to Star Trek.
Yeah, the ones. Is it the one that Uhura does?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should do that. That'll be the deal. If you and I both lose, I'll sing a song of Brian's choosing, but you have to sing part of that song. If you don't have to do the whole thing, but some of it.
Oh, I'll do the whole thing.
Will you really?
Wow.
All right.
Well, I'll pre-record it. How about that?
Is it bad that I'm now rooting for Denver in a really, really hardcore way now?
That doesn't mean that you're going to be singing a song too, Scott.
I'll do it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. We're doubling up. No worries. All right, Daryl. Back to you.
Okay.
Back to Daryl, everybody.
We have a serious job here. So it's between Ares and Titan. And I don't know where Ares falls into anything. Let's see. What was that? I guess it was a ship.
I forgot that the captain who's at... Sorry, the Chad... I'm being distracted. But the tadpole reminds me that the captain in question, who was a jerk that Riker served under, was Locke from Lost. Locke, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Totally forgot about that. All right. Anyway.
I'm just going to... Okay, it's between
these
two.
What's in the hatch?
No more agony. I'm going to pick Ares.
There are four number codes to put in, John Locke. Okay, well, let's find out if you're right. Is it the USS Ares? Oh, that got quiet. I don't know why.
Congratulations! You're a winner.
Nice job, Daryl. You have done it. He's offered command of the Ares. A civilian advisor is brought aboard to brief Riker on his new command. This advisor turns out to be his father. Riker eventually decides to stay on the Enterprise as the first officer. Here's a clip of Wesley annoying Worf about Riker's new promotion. And hold on, I gotta pull that out. Okay, there we go. Here we go.
Worf, did you hear about Commander Riker's promotion?
Yes.
He didn't know his father was coming. He was completely surprised.
So?
Can you imagine if it was your father?
I never knew my father.
And I didn't have a father long enough to know him.
It is a waste of time to think of such things.
I wasn't thinking about it, but everybody needs somebody.
Enough!
Oh my gosh, that is the most awkward conversation between Worf and Wesley. What was going on there? That was so weird. That's that didn't really feel bad. Right. Like that got recorded a different time or something weird. Yeah. Can't put my finger on it. All right, Daryl, good job. You did it. You're 2 for 3 this week. It's an impressive bit of business. You get a chance to do it again tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. You can make it all well again. You can make it so that you are the majority winner of the week. And then we'll look forward to Monday when you have to sing a song along with me. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter and part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And he will now regale us with some sort of weird nut or Star Trek thing.
Okay. Is this a Star Trek nut or an actual nut?
Here's your theme.
Boo!
All right, go.
Zoff nut.
Zoff nut?
Zoff, Z-O-F-F?
Z-O-T-H.
Zoth, okay.
Zoth nut.
Zoth nut.
Star Trek, I'm going to say.
Let's say real nut.
It is a Star Trek knife.
Yay, Scott! Finally, back on the wagon, man. I don't suck anymore. Well, not as much.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Blaine Monday, a.k.a. Bear Scott, in the chat room. His first publication, Raving Lunacy, is a poetry collection with a difference. Check it out at Amazon.com now. That's Raving Lunacy is what you're looking for on Amazon.
Yeah, just search for it. You'll find it. Flatulent cows detonated a dairy farm. This is great.
Okay, all right.
A group of 90 highly flatulent cows brought down the house at Germany, at a German dairy farm Monday when the concentrated methane gas emanated.
Oh my God. I was gonna give it up.
Can't blame that one on your eye.
Nope. Cannot blame that one on anything. From their bodies and exploded, damaging the roof of the farm shed and injuring one cow.
How did Bessie get hurt?
Yeah, what happened? How'd you get in the neighbor's yard? According to police, high levels of methane gas had built up in the structure before a static electrical charge caused the gas to detonate. The injured cow was treated for burns, but is expected to make a full recovery. In addition, it remains unclear how much gas had built up in the shed or how it had. But according to some experts, some cows can produce up to 500 liters of methane each day through farts and belches.
That's hilarious.
Farts and belches.
It just filled up this... this shed. And then, you know, all it takes is like a spark from a shovel falling against a rock or something.
Yeah. Or a dude just walking in with his jeans too close to each other. Suddenly you got a bomb going on.
Corduroy, yeah.
I was really, I don't know about you, but I was super sad when Adult Swim canceled Farts and Belches. I really enjoyed that show. And now it's gone. It's never going to come back.
It was not a show called Farts and Belches. I made that up completely.
Okay. Completely made that up.
Okay.
Duck Dynasty's wife and him and Willie Robertson, the son who's kind of the center of that show. Who's the CEO of the duck calling business that they all run or whatever. And by the way, it's all kind of fake anyway. There's this picture floating around now of just a few years before the show started.
Right. It's yuppies, right?
Yeah, yuppies. No beards. Polo shirts.
Right.
Shorty shorts on the beach hanging out with their mom. It's so much of this is for show.
Right.
And that's fine. I still think it's entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Tuesday night's State of the Union address from Barack Obama, our standing president, sitting president.
He was standing last night.
Was he standing last night? All right.
Yeah.
I think he should sit like Bill Cosby style.
He
should do Bill Cosby style, sit in a chair, lean way over with your elbows on your thighs, talk to the audience.
Oh, that'd be great. Like he's, you know, teaching you a little bit of something you didn't know.
I'd be all into that.
You know, I was watching it last night, just for a few minutes, because we usually just get the recap on the news.
Yeah.
But just the segment we watched, we could not take our eyes off of Joe Biden, because it was like he was back there grinning and kind of waving and pointing at people like, you know, like he was in the background of the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Like if he was on the other side of the window behind Matt Lauer and Savannah Guthrie in the Today Show, like, hey, oh, hey, hi, hola, hey, this is you. Oh, hey.
Yeah. Like he's got a little lower back massager going the whole time or something.
It's really funny. Yes, exactly.
He was pretty thrilled to be there.
His face.
Yeah. I like watching his little slap fight with Boner.
Make no mistake. Yeah. It may be pronounced Boner, but it's spelled Boner.
What a rough junior high that guy must have had. Anyway, so this dude, Willie Robertson, showed up with his stupid headband and his giant beard. He serves as the chief executive officer of the Robertson family business, Duck Commander, and appears along with his father, uncle, and brothers on the A&E reality series and will be attending the speech as a guest. He already did this, of course, last night, and they showed him a few times out there hanging out. Guess who ran up to get a selfie, like, fan pose picture with him, like, immediately?
Who?
Who's the guy that ran for vice president with Romney? Can't think of his name on the side.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan. He was stoked. He was stoked, man. He ran up there and just went, yep, I'm in. Let's see. He'll be attending a speech of the guest freshman representative, Vance McAllister, a Republican from Louisiana. So he's like his guest. And in a statement to the media, McAllister said, I'm proud to have my close friend, constituent, and small business owner, Willie Robertson, attend tonight's State of the Union address as my special guest. Willie is thankful for this opportunity and honored to attend. I look forward to the two of us representing the 5th District in D.C. and killing 10 ducks on our way the hell out of here this evening and bringing some diversity to our nation's capital. By diversity, he must be referring to the lack of long, bushy beards among the members of today's Congress. Which I would be all for a return to that. I think that stuff's great.
Sure.
1800s men. Oh, they're the best. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's program. You might get some of their food in your beard if you're not careful.
Ew.
I wouldn't recommend it. Check out what their chefs make, pick what you like, and they will send it to your door. It's that simple. Farm fresh to your door. 30 minutes later, you have a meal that your date, your wife, your husband, your kids, whoever, will be blown away that you made. You're kind of cheating
a little
bit.
You don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell them the truth either.
No. No, just say you made it.
Your little secret. Exactly.
Say it's your recipe. What's HelloFresh going to do? They don't care.
Right.
You've done your part. Now let your family do the rest. Whatever that means. Just listened to these guys talk to me the other day about how they're expanding all the time. And they're now in the UK, Netherlands, Germany, Australia, of course, big parts of the US, and they're expanding all the time. Check and see if they're in your area by going to HelloFresh.com and use the code MorningStream50 at checkout. Let's save you some money. That's 50% off with MorningStream50.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
By Umgardi. Our top priority is providing quality service while still providing affordability. Web hosting from $4 Canadian per month and virtual servers from $10 Canadian per month. Visit umgardi.ca for more details. That's umgardi.ca.
The way that's written is hard to read.
It really is.
It's like, what's it remind me of? Like the little Orphan Annie decoder ring thing.
That's right, yes. By the way, it's pretty far back. I was going to say, I see you. Do you mind posting that photo again of Joe Biden, Obama, and John Boehner?
Do it. Stick it in
there. It'll be about a minute. I mean, you could scroll up and find it. But something else that we noticed is that John Boehner's skin color, he's been hitting the tanning bed or the spray tan or something. Yeah. His skin color is darker than Barack's.
Yeah, he's darker than Barack Obama. I now see the photo. And what is Biden doing?
Biden's like, hey!
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey! He drives me.
I see what you're doing.
He drives me slightly nuts.
Joe Biden?
Yeah, I don't. The heartbeat away from the presidency thing, I don't know how I feel about him being there.
Yeah.
I guess it's not much longer, but whatever.
That's right.
Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Were you a fan when they were at their height?
I became a fan later on. I think I appreciated them back then. I appreciate them a lot more now.
Yeah. I liked, smoking in the boys' room.
Sure, sure.
I liked the makeup.
Dr. Love. Sure. And
they had their moments. My favorite art teacher ever
shout at the devil.
Did this amazing caricature of all of them.
Oh, really?
I never forgot how rad I thought that was. Well, all four of them have signed a death pact. To break
no
up after their final tour. I think the part is a little bit premature.
Okay, death to the band, not death to them, death to the
each
members.
Other. Right. They're all just going to murder-suicide each other.
That's right.
Brilliant. All four members of Motley Crue signed an agreement Tuesday that will permanently dissolve the legendary rock group after one final tour. Hmm. Vince Neil, Mick Mars, Nikki Sixx, and Tommy Lee appeared at a Hollywood hotel with colostomy bags and their pills today for a signing ceremony for a secession of touring agreement. You ever heard of that before?
No, secession of touring agreement.
Cessation?
Yeah, basically they cease.
Cessation.
Cease, right, like a cease touring.
Yeah, like cease and desist. I don't know.
Right, cessation of
touring. Which their lawyer said would bring a peaceful end to the group as opposed to the all-out war they were going to have.
Right. Well, I think you know what it means is basically that let's say Tommy Lee's like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. The three other members can't continue using that name and perform as Motley Crue with
it's kind of like the Guns N' Roses deal.
Dave Grohl or something in the drummer role.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I could see that.
It's Steve Perry wishes he would have signed that agreement.
Yes, he does. other bands have split up over Rancor or the... It's not like Rancor from Star Wars.
No.
Yeah, they fought over that big giant monkey thing that exactly. Luke got almost beaten by.
Yes.
Yeah. Or the inability of people to get along, but this is a mutual, among all four original members, and a peaceful decision to move on to other endeavors and to confirm it with a binding agreement, says their attorney, Doug Mark. Doug Mark is Doug a cool Mark. Name.
Yes.
Let's see. Motley Crue sold more than 80 million albums since hitting the road in 81. But drummer Tommy Lee said everything must come to an end. We always had a vision for going out with a big effing bang, but not playing country fairs and clubs with one or two original band members, says Lee, who was the youngest member at age 51. He's the youngest. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, Tommy Lee's 51 and he's the youngest member of Motley Crue.
He's just a kid. He says, our job here is done. So that's it. If you were excited about what Motley Crue had in store for the future, move on, buddy. Move on.
Right. Shout at the devil.
Was that them?
Yeah.
Shout. Yeah, that was like their original album song.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
When my mother was at her most worried about it.
Now they have to shout to hear each other.
That's the truth. Oh, camera. Did I laugh too hard for you, camera?
I know. You laughed yourself right out of video. I found out, by the way, I did a little searching while Daryl was on.
Yeah.
That has to do with, you're going to love this, us not using the most recent version of Skype.
Oh, good. Great. That's great. Well, maybe I revert to whatever the equivalent PC and Mac versions we have that you and I are using, and then it'll all work fine because I can do that. I can go get an old version and load it up.
Oh, right. Right.
I can totally do that. All right. Okay. Well, I'll work on it, folks. Don't worry. We're here. Okay. We're queer. Get used to it.
Okay.
The 19-year-old Justin Bieber leaves Panama for L.A. with his manager following a quote-unquote intervention.
Mm.
6 days after a Miami DUI arrest. Justin Biebs is heading home after this brief break in Panama. The 19-year-old was seen in the Tocumen International Airport.
Yeah. Tocumen.
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 I wish it was Taco Man.
I do too. Great. Actually, that sounds good today. I might have to do
tacos. Yeah. What kind of tacos, though?
Well, what I usually get is I get the $5 box at Taco Bell, and then I just don't eat the taco that comes with it. So I get I basically have the Burrito Supreme and a one of those nacho or Doritos tacos, and that's it. And then I give the taco to either Tina or Tristan, or I just throw it out,
or the dog.
But it's cheaper, still cheaper.
Yeah, still less. Little trick there, everybody.
Yep.
Let's see. He left with his team flying back to L.A. According to all of this, he had an intervention. The private plane was just on standby all day, said the Mail Online. It was really disappointing that he never got in it. Justin needs help now. Instead, Justin chose to stay in Miami with his father, Jeremy, age 38. The pair were understood to be holed up in a Mediterranean-style mansion. He then headed to Panama. So apparently things are a little messy for the boy, and they're trying to work it out. So, you know, you can hope for the best.
So, you know, there's a petition on whitehouse.gov to deport Justin Bieber and revoke his green card.
Wow. Why, though?
I
mean, I think he's a douche, but what's the... Well, other than being snarky and internet-y about it, why would they want to do that to the...
The top line of the petition says, "We, the people of the United States, feel that we are being wrongly represented in the world of pop culture. We would like to see the dangerous, reckless, destructive, and drug-abusing Justin Bieber deported and his green card revoked. He's not only threatening the safety of our people, but he is also a terrible influence on our nation's youth. We, the people, would like to remove Justin Bieber from our society."
If they're being serious...
They're being serious. The petition was created January 23rd, and it needs 100,000 signatures by February 22nd, 2014. It's only what? It's 5 days old, 6 days old, and there's already 102,476 petitions on this.
So what happens with it then? It goes to some congressy thing or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shite.
Well, it has to get approved and disproved. This is the same petition where, you know, people wanted to have a Death Star.
Well... Then they may as well, this thing, if they're serious, then just retroactively apply it to every rock and roll person ever then.
Right.
Where they all were breaking up hotels and acting like douchebags in international tour dates.
Right.
Why don't you just slap Madonna with one? How about you bring her back from Britain and then deport her again?
Children.
No, not anymore.
She's just putting the N-word on her tweets about her white son.
That's terrible. That's a dumb idea, and I don't like Bieber. can't.
I'm surprised that, whatever.
If someone's serious, and if that ever gets any, if that's a thing you can do and that gets on the floor of the Congress for any kind of conversation, we're doing it wrong. We have to vet that thing out of there. That's stupid.
Right.
All right. Tweet audio.
Attorney Winfox, the president's office just has to give a response. They're not under any obligation to anything. Well, they do have to respond.
Oh, okay.
They do have to respond.
Well, that's fine. Responding's fine.
Yes.
Let all the crazy people do what they want.
Because, people could say, sign a petition to make Duck Dynasty the official flag of the United States. And they could easily get 100,000 names on that petition with all the fans.
Yeah. Get Phil and Uncle Cy up on a big flag. That'd be great.
That's right.
I've also decided I know the reason why the show's popular at the level that it is. It's mostly because Uncle Cy is funny.
Okay.
That's 90% of the reason. And when you see some of this, you'll understand why. He's just a crazy old coot, and they play it up.
Yeah.
And crazy old coots are funny. Yeah, Tweaked Audio. Oh, man, tweakedaudio.com.
Tweaked Audio.
Got some birthdays coming up for my kids, and because I suck at gift giving, I think I might do the easy thing and just buy a couple of pairs of audio earbuds for my son and my daughter, because they love them. They never have enough of them. They want to use them. They got iPods and phones and things. So why the hell not? The way I look at it. Sure. You can get the Tweaked Classic, the Tweaked Mic'd Classic for those of you using smartphones. Tweaked California. Boom, da doom, da doom, da doom, doom.
I love that. That one always triggers that.
I can't help it.
But it totally does, yeah.
What is it? How's that song go?
But
what does he say? Take California.
Take California, yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Great styles, great colors, all with lifetime warranties. Get them at tweakedaudio.com using the code STREAM. That'll get you 33% off right now, today. No waiting at tweakedaudio.com. All right, let's take a break. Let's do some music. And when we come back, we got Nicole, and we have Tom, and we have emails. Right. But before all that, a song!
Yes, so a couple days ago, the 27th, so day before yesterday, Monday, we lost legendary folk singer Pete Seeger. Mm. A lot of people may not be familiar with his work, just off the surface, off the top of their heads, but they're definitely familiar with his music once they realize all the things that he wrote. He wrote stuff for the Weavers and Woody Guthrie, Arlo Guthrie, Lead Belly, but a lot of classic songs that people know and even sing today. Songs that people can sing along to.
Is he Bob Seger's brother?
He has no relation to Bob Seger. Okay. He has Pete Seeger has two E's. Well, actually, he has three E's in his last name. Bob Seger just has two. So it's Seeger.
Bob Seger's the... Right?
Yes, exactly.
Take those old records off the shelf. All right.
Like a rock.
Oh, yeah. Like a rock. I'm going to sell this song to Ford one day.
Working on the night moves.
Oh, man. You forget how many Bob Seger songs until you hear them.
Bob Seger, greatest hits, is a treasure trove of material. But that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Pete Seeger. Mm. Bruce Springsteen even did an album about 5 years ago. Well, actually 7 years ago, called We Shall Overcome, where he did an entire album of Pete Seeger covers. And a couple songs that he wrote you're going to hear on today's show. Let's start with one sung by our very own Mr. Spock. This is
Sorry.
I Had a Hammer.
Yeah.
And this escalates into quite the majestic grand finale. Mm. It's from the album Golden Throats, a great collection of celebrities doing horrible, horrible songs. It's Leonard Nimoy and If I Had a Hammer.
Pain.
Yes,
I wonder if he still feels pain when he does things like this.
Pain!
Well, we'll find out right now when we play his song, If I Need a Hammer. If I Had a Hammer is really the right way of saying it.
Yes.
We'll be back with Nicole in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Well, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Well, if I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning,
I'd ring it in the evening all over this land. I'd ring out danger. I'd ring out a warning. I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Well, if I had a song, I'd sing it in the morning. I'd sing it in the evening all over this land. I'd sing out danger. I'd sing out a warning. I'd sing out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Well, I have a hammer, and I have a bell, and I have a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice. It's the bell of freedom. And the song is the song of love. Love between all of my brothers, and love between all of my sisters, all over this land.
Go!
Clean. I mean, really clean. And it holds any set I want.
New beer-enriched shampoo, Body on Tap, gives your hair super body, super hold.
Brewed with one-third real beer.
Wow.
But don't drink it. Just shampoo. Whether I roll it, pin it, curl it, or blow it dry, it gives my hair super body, super hold.
And the shine of your life. It's the beer shampoo that does it in three bodybuilding formulas.
That's body.
On tap.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Sit down and listen, punk. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
That was great, man. That was something else, that thing.
He's, you know, I'll say that Leonard Nimoy loves his country at the end of that song.
Good Lord.
The hammer of justice.
Really fancy stuff.
Put that link in that I just put in your Skype.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Didn't realize I had one.
That's right.
Oh, here we go. Bidenface.gif. Oh. What is he doing?
It's like the, how you doing?
And he's got like implants or something. Like those.
Botox.
Or his hair, too, is just.
It's like, really weird looking, yeah.
Oh, that's great, dude. He's the worst.
He's not.
He's the worst.
He's not the worst.
He's the greatest, but not because he's the greatest. Like that, he's great, but we don't want that guy running the joint.
You know what? He's above, in my opinion, he's above Quail.
Well, yeah, I'd take a lot of people over Quail. I'd probably even take Darth Vader over Quail. What's his name? Bush's dude? Cheney. I'd take Cheney.
Yeah, sure.
You know, what do they do with Cheney when he gets up, the GOP, and he says things like, I believe two consenting gay adults should be able to get married wherever they want to get married because his daughter's lesbian. Mm-hmm. So he's got a reason to feel that way.
Right, sure.
Some personal experience that influences his opinion. What do they do when that happens? Because normally he is toeing the line. This president we have now is a big piece of shit. And and they all think that's great. But the minute he starts talking about how everybody should be just have equitable marriage and what get togethers or whatever, he doesn't get any grief from the GOP.
No.
What's going on with that?
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. All right.
By the way, there is also on whitehouse.gov, there is a petition to not deport Justin Bieber.
Oh, gosh.
And of the 99,502 signatures that they need by February 23rd, they have 498.
Wow. So clearly the people have spoken.
That's right.
Thank goodness this all makes sense now. Oh, looky here. We have here, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for recommendals, and it's Nicole Spag on the line. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
How are you?
Do you see me?
Yeah, except this thing doesn't want to accept you. There you go. Now you're up. Hi. How you doing?
Good. I had nightmares about this.
Oh, you did? Really? Why?
I was nervous, I guess, about being on camera.
Oh, don't be nervous.
Look at me. I'm a TMS sandwich.
No, Brian and I look like a couple of loafs. You look great. That room is so nicely lit and everything's so pretty.
And you've got cool movie posters.
Yeah.
All the cool movie posters behind.
That's great. Is that like your movie room there?
Yeah, that's our, well, it's not the movie room. It's our podcasting room.
Oh, even better.
All the gaming stuff and whatnot.
When the movie is made about your life. Oh, good. Oh, the video.
Sorry.
The video
I accidentally hit the button. Sorry.
Oh, you did.
My dream is coming true.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. Let your nightmare live on in the dreams of others. Nicole, it's good to have you back on. And it was really fun being on Nerd Parents yesterday. Thanks for having us on.
I loved it. I was grinning all day. I had such a great time.
It was really fun. So when does that air, just so people know?
So your episode will air next week. Len and Nora from Jawbone Radio, mm-hmm. they're going to be on today.
Oh, got it.
And that one will be released later on in the week because he has a Kickstarter going on right now that I wanted to make sure it's timely. So,
well, they hit their goal, so you could kick
Did
them
they?
Out on their raw ass now.
Oh, good.
Yes, he funded things to the addition of some Cards Against Humanity cards from PAX.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Those guys kicked in 500 decks of this hard to get $150 on eBay.
Wow.
Deck things.
That's amazing.
And the only downside of that is it's a ton of people who have no idea what this Kickstarter is. They're just there for the cards. But who cares, man?
Yeah, right.
You know
right.
what? And Scott and I, we'll get exposure for TMS from people who probably have no idea what a podcast is, let alone Geek a Week.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure.
Bring them into the fold.
So it's exciting. But anyway, we'll enjoy that. They've got seven kids, so that should be a really interesting episode.
I'm so eager to talk with them because I can't even like wrap my brain around seven kids. Yeah. I can't wrap my brain around two kids.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. They do it in style. Like those kids are smart and they achieve things in their. It's a really sweet family.
Well, as soon as the kid is born, he goes into a rigorous training program on how to babysit and how to manage the kids that will be underneath him.
And don't they have a band too? So they're already teaching them an instrument, right?
Yeah, the band's called
it's like the Partridge Family.
Yeah, like, it's totally like that.
It's the Peraltridge Family.
Well, that'll be good.
I'm excited.
Be on pins and needles for next week, everybody, when the real business happens. By the way, that camera thing is not your fault. It's us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Right. So, Nicole, let's get into recommendals this week where you bring us recommendations from streaming services typically, and we're pretty excited about what you got today. What do you got?
Streaming services always. Mm. If they're not streaming, I'm not going to recommend them. Mm. So
sometimes you go to movies, right? Like you'll see a movie in the theater.
Yeah, that's true. I go to the theater every once in a while. It's been a while, so.
And it's technically streaming there, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way.
Technically, yes. So during the holidays, we talked about the movie Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Hate it.
I know you hate it.
Used to love it. Completely let me down this year. I could not believe why I liked that movie.
Really?
It's not good.
You're terrible.
Oh, I can't believe that.
I still love it. Anyway, that got me around, I guess it was around the end of January when I'm kind of ready to push my movies out. From Christmas into, you know, some different ones, I started looking around on Amazon Prime and noticed that Caddyshack was streaming.
Yeah.
And in Scrooged, Bill Murray's brother is his actual brother in real life.
Brian Doyle.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Murray Doyle.
So we started doing some research and realized that Bill Murray, like, he has a family of actors. So he has five siblings.
He's the Dorma and Greg one, too. I can't remember his name, the younger brother.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So anyway,
he was Greg's business partner or something like that. I don't know what it was.
This brought me to Caddyshack because his other brother, Brian Doyle Murray, wrote the screenplay for Caddyshack.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yes. Wow. So, and he wrote it based on their experiences at a country club where they were caddies. So Bill Murray, Brian Doyle Murray, all of the Murrays worked at this country club.
That's awesome.
That's what Caddyshack is based off of, some real life truth in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And for those who don't remember, the brother, the one that you're talking about who wrote that is the guy that wouldn't give Clark his bonus check in Christmas Vacation.
Right.
Same Murray.
He's also the voice of what's his face on SpongeBob.
Yeah, the ghost dude, Davy Jones.
Jones.
He's great. And he's also, I don't know if anyone ever watched Flapjack on Cartoon Network and it was on. It's a fantastic, weird animated show. Yep. And he played Mr. Kernuckles in that.
Yeah.
Or Captain Kernuckles. He was great.
He also is on The Middle, the TV show that's on right now.
Mm.
He hasn't been on in a while, but he plays Frankie's boss. He's a used car salesman.
I wonder if for a while there, and I don't know if they still do this, but it was cool because the Murray boys would get together once a year and go on a big golf tournament. What if they still do that together?
I'm sure they do. I think golf is in their blood. Mm-hmm. I think another Murray has a restaurant, and all of the Murray brothers visit and go in. Like, I can't remember what restaurant
I love that. I think that is so cool.
That is
like
really
one's
cool.
A chef. Yeah.
You don't hear about the Baldwins doing this kind of stuff, do you?
No, you don't.
I think they all kind of hate each other.
They're all suckling off of Alex's teat.
Yeah, wow, his ample teat. That's right.
8 siblings. Brian Doyle Murray, John Murray, Peggy Murray, Nancy Murray, Joel Murray, Edward Murray III, Laura Murray, and Andy Murray.
And there's five brothers, right?
Yeah.
5 brothers and 3 sisters.
Is there no Anne Murray? She not in there?
There's no Anne Murray.
All right. I used to have a thing for Anne Murray.
So, yeah.
I did. Her music, really? I mean, not her.
Oh, I love Anne Murray. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I used to really like her. I don't mean I was hot for Anne Murray. That was like being hot for my grandma.
Snowbird doesn't end far away.
Yeah, something about that stuff. Okay. So it's from my childhood, you know. Anyway, that's great.
But have you watched Caddyshack recently?
Yeah,
because
it does
rewatched
hold up.
It. And I forgot so much about this film. Yeah. And it's really funny. Bill Murray, Chevy Chase is in it. I forgot how funny Rodney Dangerfield was.
Yeah.
Like, I miss Rodney Dangerfield. So watching this again was really kind of cool.
That movie holds up way more than you'd think it would.
Yes, it does.
It's unlike Scrooge, it really totally holds up. Maybe his
Shut
brother
up.
Should have written
Scrooge
that movie.
Scrooge is awesome.
No, it's not. It's not good. Anyway.
You're smoking. Something, I don't know. All right. So my next Bill Murray movie is on Netflix. And it's a classic. I watch it all the time. The 1984 film Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yay! Nothing wrong with
so,
that.
So Ghostbusters, you should have watched this by now. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, watch it. It's streaming. It's on Netflix.
Oh, seriously,
it's awesome.
Yeah, if you haven't, then
Dan Aykroyd.
Stop listening to this show right now and go watch
it. I'm sure somebody somewhere has not seen it. Like, I keep running into people who haven't seen Star Wars, which always just blows my mind apart. But yeah, there's no reason not to see Ghostbusters and talk about something that holds up. Don't see 2. 2 is kind of terrible.
Yeah. It's all right.
I don't like 2 at all. I hate it. But
I was better. You know what, though? 2 is better than most, you know, current comedies.
Yeah, I guess you can give me that.
And Ghostbusters has a 96% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
It deserves it. It's really, really good.
It totally does.
So many iconic classic lines from that. Mm-hmm. Don't cross the streams. Right.
That's a big Twinkie.
She slimed me.
Who's the director again?
Harold Ramis.
No.
Ivan Reitman. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ivan Reitman.
Ivan Reitman. So his son, Jason, is it Jason Reitman?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's
Up in the Air. And
He makes cameos in those movies. Maybe it's just 2, but he's like big time director now.
Yeah.
Like big time dude. So if you ever want to see something kind of weird, you can see him running around talking in those movies.
Mm-hmm. Harold Ramis did Caddyshack, before mentioned Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't write it, though, did he? Did Harold Ramis write it?
No, he directed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever make another one?
Another
Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters? Yeah, they're already working on it. It's the talk.
Yeah,
are they?
Does it? They're I've working never... by working on it. I mean, I know that Bill Murray. The rumor is that Dan Aykroyd sent Bill Murray a script, and Bill Murray sent back a manila envelope with the shredded script back to Dan Aykroyd.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think he didn't like it. I think that's the rumor, though. I think that that's just.
Well, according to this post on IMDb, and this is not anywhere near complete, but it says Dan Aykroyd is and Ethan Coen are writing this thing.
Really?
This was updated November 2013, so there's still new information coming out. But I wouldn't be. I mean, these things get this. That thing's been probably roped in all kinds of stuff for so long that who knows.
Did you happen to play the Ghostbuster game that came out a couple years ago?
That actually had, all 3 of their voices, right?
I didn't play it.
It was, I think, 4 of their voices. Yeah. So all 4 of them were in it. And it played like it was Ghostbusters 3. And the story was great. And it was a lot of fun. It had some weird game controls where you had to, like, take the controller and jerk it up really quickly. So there was some wonkiness to the gameplay, but the story and the voice acting and all that compelled me to finish it. It was really fun.
So here's some interesting stuff about it. So Ghostbusters 3 Hellbent was the name of the original sequel that was supposed to come out in 99. The script didn't get used, but that was the Dan Aykroyd, Tom Davis one that Bill Murray rejected. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 3 in 2008 was a rewrite. Nobody's seen it. Nobody knows what happened to it. 2012, Ethan Coen and Dan Aykroyd were working on it again. So that's 2012. That's the most recent anyone knows. In an interview in 2010, Dan Aykroyd said he had hoped something would start happening by spring 2011. The holdup was not Bill Murray, but it was a matter of schedules being open. They need younger people to carry the packs and drive the Cadillac. Mentions Ray has issues with his eye, knee, and hip, as well as fitting into the jumpsuit. passing the torch to a younger generation.
Oh, no.
So anyway, yeah. I don't know.
And you kind of dread this whole passing the torch to a new generation phrase, don't you?
Do you really want to see Jonah Hill running around with a pack on his back?
No.
But then again, I kind of do.
Then again, he was really great in 21 Jump Street.
He's really good in everything. I think Jonah Hill is bona fide. I mean, there's a reason he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I think he's actually
five people are the rights holders to Ghostbusters: Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, Ivan Reitman, and Sony Pictures. So
Sigourney Weaver has ownership.
Sigourney
on that?
Really?
Weaver has ownership. Yeah. Bill Murray, and he is the only one who has not, as of the shredding of the script, he's the only one who did not sign off on.
Interesting.
On Ghostbusters 3, so who knows?
I want a new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And I don't want a passing the torch. I'm fine. You know, he says nobody wants to, no one's going to pay to watch fat old men chasing ghosts. I would pay to watch.
Yeah. Totally.
It's funny that Sigourney Weaver owns rights, but Ernie Hudson doesn't.
No, Ernie Hudson gets nothing. He's out.
Or Ernie.
Yeah, he can go to do Oz or whatever the hell he did after this.
So yeah, go watch Ghostbusters if you haven't seen it, or if you've seen it, watch it again. It's still awesome.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Annie Potts.
Yeah,
we forgot about Annie Potts.
Oh yeah, Annie Potts. Right.
She's okay. She's all right.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She was awesome in Designing Women.
There are worse people than Annie Potts.
All right, your third film. I'll keep us moving along.
All right.
Is again one of my favorites. Bill Murray, throughout his career, he's for me. I've had a few misses, but a lot of his hits are definitely among my favorites. And this one didn't sit with me well when the first time I watched it, but every single time I watched it over and over and over again, because it seems to come on TV and it's just out there a lot. It's grown on me, and it's one of my favorites, Groundhog's Day.
Oh, Groundhog Day is one of the greatest films ever made.
Yes. Yeah. So
how this appropriate.
This is over and over and over again is how I enjoyed this film.
Also because Sunday will be Groundhog Day.
Oh, is it? Oh, nice.
I didn't realize that.
Accidental thing there.
I did that on purpose.
Of course you did.
Sure you did.
Yeah. But this is on Crackle, so everyone can watch this film. Mm-hmm. If you just download the app, you can watch it. It's also Crackle is also on Roku. I'm sure it's on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So you just have to, you know, sit through a few ads. But Groundhog's Day, love it. Bill Murray. Yeah. What's her face?
Annie McDowell. Brandon Murray is in that one too. The mayor. And
yeah, oh, that's right. He's the mayor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He shows up. He's like the Clint Howard of the Murray family.
He really is. He totally is.
Shows up in all the Ron Howard movies.
That's right.
Who else? Who's the dude I used to love?
Right. You've got...
I can't
think of his name.
He was in Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Chris Elliott.
Thank you. He's a cameraman.
I thought you were talking about... Oh my God! Why can't I remember his
name?
Ned Ryerson.
Oh man, you want to see Ned Ryerson in a thing you never thought you'd see him be and do? Watch season 4 of Justified. Holy crap! You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That scene.
I don't. I'm only on season 2.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you will never think of Ned Ryerson the same again, and you will never think of the dude from My Name Is Earl who played the cop at the same again.
You sure as heck fire won't remember him. Stephen Tobolowsky. Yes, that's it.
I could watch Groundhog Day 50 times a day. I love that movie.
I love that movie. Yeah. So yeah, it's on Crackle. I don't think it wasn't on Netflix or Amazon Prime. So
makes up completely for Scrooged. Completely makes
sense. Shut up! I'm gonna get on a plane.
I know how to poke Nicole and get her riled up. So there you go.
I will say, yeah. I just wanted to let you know, I know we've talked about different apps on how to find some of these streaming movies. We've talked about, there's a website called Can I Stream It? Mm-hmm. But I just recently found a new app that I wanted to tell the listeners about called Yidio. Y-I-D-I-O. And I think that's how you pronounce it.
I like Yidio. It. Yidio.
But I love it. It, and what's really cool about it is it has a lot of sources. So you have your sources. So if you have Cinemax, HBO, there's like a CW, there's a bunch of apps I didn't even know existed. And I found out through this app, but you can put all your favorites in. It will email you when the new episodes are out. You can do a quick search. So I just simply, it says, what do you want to watch? And I said, Groundhog's Day. And it found it for me. And it told me all of the places that I could go watch.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Holy cow.
This is a really good. I've been testing this one. Yeah.
Huh. Hey, can you do your next theme where you pick like an actor and then do all three movies from that actor? Can it be this guy?
Dermot McRoney?
Can you do him?
You know, I was looking him up, but I haven't watched all the films, I want to watch him.
Poor Dermot.
Poor Dermot and the McRoney family. I just feel so bad for him. Like the Family Stone. I love the Family Stone, and he's in that. So there's one. You could do that one.
Is it streaming?
I don't know if it is. You have to check, but man, I love that movie. I don't know why I like it. It's this a total rom-com. Cool.
This actually, like if you put this on your iPad,
yes,
you'll say, okay, here's what I want to watch. And it lists you the things that, you know, that you can watch it on. And then it's got the links to go right to that app iPad.
It just, as long as the app's on your iPad, you click it and it automatically brings it up in that app.
Spell
and then
for people again, just Yidio, like video with a Y.
No, Yidio, Y-I-D-I-O.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another one out there called Fan that I was comparing it to. I like the interface, and Yidio has more options than Fan. So I really like this.
I'm going to pull it down right now. I don't like their icon. It looks like the Atari 2600 came and asked for its style back or something. But
what?
It's the icon.
For Yidio?
Yeah, the Yidio icon.
The little TV.
Yeah, that orange is just.
Okay.
It.
All right.
Anyway. Nice. All right. I'm going to. It does seem like a small thing to worry about. Well, on that note, Nicole is, you can find her at nerdparents.com where these new episodes are going up all the time. Of course, ladiesofleak.com and the Final Score at finalscoreshow.com. Anything
all
else
over.
I'm missing? Anything else?
Nope, that's it. All I'm right. just, you know.
Nicole Spag on Twitter. That's important right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So follow her. Nicole, it's always a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. See ya.
She just called us bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
I'm not a bye guy.
Bye, guys.
I'm not bye.
True story.
All right. let's get Tom Merritt in the business.
Sure. Oh, and my camera's off.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I'm going to fix that.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea about where to have the source.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I'm just going to download the new version of Skype when we're done here.
New hoo-ha. That sounds pretty good. All right, let's bring Tom in style with this clip right here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Dress.
Oh.
Oh.
That thing's happening. That's a separate issue. Unrelated.
Hey, it came back quicker this
time. Oh, it did come back quicker. Oh, nice. Yeah, all right.
But I'm still dressed all in white.
Okay. That sounds good.
As far as I can tell on Skype.
Yeah, and the video is just showing your icon, yet I can see you as Tom
Merritt's
face. See,
that was the joke, because the icon is all white.
Oh, got it. See, I'm a little slow.
Yeah, it's with the blue background, right.
Tom Merritt, how are you, man? What's going on?
You know, I'm good. I'm trying to decide today, should we talk about poor Nintendo? Or should we talk about this guy who got his Twitter account basically hijacked for $50,000?
Ooh. Well, don't tempt me with such hard choices here. I want to go.
I think I want to hear about poor Nintendo.
I think I do too. The gamer in me wants to hear what's going on. Plus, you know, this
like,
is Twitch.
Screw that guy at his $50,000. I want to hear about Nintendo losing millions of dollars.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, how's that going?
Not well. Hmm. Nintendo sold fewer Wii U's in 1 year than Xbox or PS4 sold in 2 months.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
What did they say what those raw numbers are?
That's 2.8 million Wii U's along with 17.68 million software titles sold during 2013.
Wow.
2.8 million. over the course of the entire year.
That is
That's compared
good.
To the 3 million Xbox Ones or the 4.2 million PS4s
yeah.
sold in the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah, that I don't even think Nintendo expected to beat numbers that those guys were going to put up, certainly, but I don't think they expected them to be that low. That seems so low to me.
Now, on a brighter note, Nintendo did sell 12.9 million 3DSs, so they've got a hit on their hands still. It's just the smaller hit. And Nintendo's boss is, in true Japanese style, taking a pay cut because, hey, they suck.
Well, it's that or Harry Carey, right? Don't they still do that in some?
Yeah, they also will imitate Harry Carey to embarrass themselves in front of baseball fans everywhere. You know, they're big baseball fans.
Yeah, they love it. They're big fans of that. They really like Will Ferrell's impression, but they've kind of got their own take on it. Sure.
Well, their take's not very good, so as punishment, they have to do it in front of everyone.
Well, here's the thing I believe about Nintendo more than ever. And the 3DS is a bona fide hit. It's been fine. They've done well with it. They've always kind of dominated the handheld market. And even more so, you have to give them credit on that side, given the competition that mobile has provided against them, because they just haven't had to deal with that before. So mobile platforms, iOS and Android, and them becoming more capable gaming devices has definitely cut into their bottom line. But somehow they've been able to stretch through that and make that work still. But this is such a low point for their home console market, despite having some really killer titles this fall or this previous fall. I feel like we are closer than ever to that idea we've all had for years that Nintendo might finally publish their best titles across different platforms. It seems like sacrilegion to a lot of Nintendo purists and to Nintendo themselves, I'm sure. But I gotta think, man, at some point they have to cave, you know? Don't you think, Tom? Like, wouldn't you cave if you were them?
Yeah, and that's why I think you'll be heartened to know that Nintendo told Engadget on Tuesday Nintendo has no intention to make Nintendo software available on smart devices, and we can confirm there are no plans to offer mini games on smartphone devices. Oh. Mm. So, yes, absolutely not going to do that thing you just said.
Mm. It just seems, though, to me, I know they keep saying it, and this, but them doing mini games about their games, like having a mini Mario game, like a mini, something to sort of drive people to their properties, that in itself is a giant move forward for them in that way that they would have never taken a few years ago. So I'm saying Nintendo...
They're not doing that, right? They're not making mini games.
They say they're not.
That's right.
But
they said flat out, we can confirm. These are their words.
I don't believe them.
We can confirm that there are no plans to offer mini games on smartphone devices.
But they've already got Pokemon stuff there. They already have Pokemon stuff there, is what I'm getting at. So they have.
What kind of Pokemon stuff is there? I'm unfamiliar.
Well,
there's no Pokemon, official Nintendo Pokemon
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Stuff,
oh, yeah. There's like a Pokedex something. I mean, none of it's playable. Like, and none of it's like a Pokemon straight up game where you're killing dudes and capturing.
Okay, so it's like the auction house used to be to Warcraft.
Yes, I'd say that's about
companion
right.
Companion piece.
There's a bit more than that, but it's still a thing that Nintendo has never done. So I see it as a potential. I'm not even saying they should do this. I think Nintendo experiences are amazing. They make games like nobody else, and they always have, and they probably always will. But at some point, the financials of this are going to make it so they have to do something. The shareholders aren't going to stand for it. No matter how much face you want to save, you have to do it. Like, what are they going to do? Just go out of business and say, we stuck to our guns, and we're out of here.
I guess to play devil's advocate, I would say that what Nintendo's going to say is our 3DS is doing just fine. So, you know, the Wii U didn't do well. That was our mistake. Not the end of the world. And we'll come back fighting. I don't know. Maybe Nintendo makes a smartphone. Maybe Nintendo partners on a smartphone. But I think what Nintendo is basically saying is we are not giving up the proprietary method of doing this. We are not going to go and release our content across platforms. We are not following the path of Sega, even though it looks right now like they're following the path of Sega. Mm. And the Wii U is their Dreamcast. Although the Dreamcast was a really great piece of machinery, and I can attest as an owner, the Wii U is not as good a piece of machinery as the Dreamcast was.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. The gadgetry and the gimmickry just got away from them this time, and they should have just... I mean, imagine what the world would have done if Nintendo would have said, we're going to make just a straight-up console. This thing's going to have regular controllers, and it's going to be, you know, ready for all the HDification that we've had for the last 5 years. We're going to be better than that. We're going to be on par with PS4s and Xbox Ones. I just feel like that would have been the strategy this time around. It would have taken him away from this idea that, oh, Nintendo's making another weird-ass thing that you don't know how to use yet.
It's so amazing, right? The Wii was brilliant. It said, we're going to go after a segment of the market that the other two are ignoring. Yeah. And we are going to do it well, and we're going to innovate in it with motion control. The Wii U was the opposite. It was very obviously designed by committee. You know, like, okay, we're going to do one innovative thing, which is this deck, you know, this handheld tablet thing, because tablets are cool, but it's not going to make any sense in relation to the rest of the machine. And we're going to make the other machine a little bigger. And all the pieces were there, but they didn't work together.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. I don't know what the end times are for Nintendo. I just really hope I get to play Mario games on something in the future that isn't so exclusive and so hard to get your head around, except, you know, I don't want to pay, let me put it this way, I don't want to pay $300 for a game. I don't want to do that anymore. And that's what Nintendo's making people do, because you're not getting good third-party support. Mm-hmm. The handhelds are a different animal, and you are getting good third-party support, and you're getting amazing original titles. So it feels like that model's still happening somewhere for Nintendo. I just don't know why they have such a struggle making that happen in the home anymore.
And, on a side note, I want to point out that Nintendo did report $4.8 billion in net sales and $99 million in net income when translated into U.S. dollars. So they didn't do badly. They just didn't do as well as last year. And they've been doing gangbusters. And so this is a 30% drop. Mm-hmm. They're going in the wrong direction. But they're not in trouble yet. I can remember saying similar things about companies like Nokia and RIM, mm-hmm. Now BlackBerry, back in the day. And what those companies didn't do was recognize that the direction they were going was wrong. And I think that's what you're saying, Scott, is they need to change direction. You've got a preferred direction that I think a lot of other people would like to see. But even if that's not the direction they want to go in, they got to come up with some kind of new direction. Because what they're doing is making their money off a fading business, which is a handheld video game console, the 3DS, which is like selling an iPod in 2008. You're still going to sell a lot of them, but it's not a business that's going
to
grow.
Yeah, and you get the feeling they're not going to be able to do that again. You know, you can't get away with it one more time. A 4DS or whatever the hell they're going to call it is not going to work.
Well, I don't know if it was 4D. Like,
yeah, if they get the
fourth moved dimension. In time, that would be kind of cool.
That would be all right, I guess. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but I really like talking about it because I think they're just a fascinating study in what to do and then what not to do and then sometimes what to do again. And they're just an interesting company and have been for as long as they've been around, and I do not want to live in a world where they don't exist. So I need them to continue to existing in some fashion or another. Always good stuff. I feel bad for the $50,000 Twitter guy, but we'll talk about him a different time.
The key there, this is very similar to the Matt Honan story, if you want me to summarize real quickly. He basically got hacked on his domain name in a very surprising way, and then it cascaded through other accounts, and they wanted to take his Twitter account, which was a one letter Twitter account, N, and he was able to keep it, and they were like, well, we've got all of your other stuff, so you give us $50,000, or your Twitter account.
Wow.
Well, they actually didn't say give us $50,000. He had been offered $50,000 to sell it before. And then they were like, give us your Twitter account and we'll give you back everything else. They also told him how they hacked everything and said, this is what you should do. You should contact PayPal and tell them never to allow any of your data out over the phone. You should contact GoDaddy and lock this and that setting down.
That's frightening. All of that scares me.
Yeah.
I don't like any of that.
Because that's what happened. I mean, in real quickly, they called PayPal and pretended to be him and got PayPal to give them the last four digits of his credit card, because they said, oh, I lost my credit card, but and I can't remember which one I used on PayPal. And they're like, oh, it's the one that ends in 1234. Like, great. Then they called GoDaddy, and GoDaddy said, well, to prove who you are, give us the last four digits of the credit card you used.
Oh, my God.
Dude,
wow.
Dude, that's some hardcore social hackery right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't go do that, everybody. And also, I'd have just gotten the $50,000. That seems like good money for a Twitter account. Just saying.
Yeah.
I think I would have taken it. Yeah. By the way, I have one at Extra Life that I'm selling if anyone's interested. let me know. That'd be great.
I've got one at Tom Merritt.
Uh-huh. You should keep that, though.
happy to sell for.
But for 50 grand, yeah. That'd be a hell of a Kickstarter right there. Tom Merritt, what else is going on that we can point people to? You got a lot going on right now.
I do, but I really, 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 really have enjoyed doing Current Geek.
Me too,
and,
man.
And I don't, you know, I don't say that just because I'm on the morning street with you right now. Or with Ibbot, who was great on it as well. This has been really fun. We've gotten great response. The calendar purchasers, I want to say that the calendars are signed and on their way in the mail to David Michael. And so they will be on their way to you soon.
Yes.
I promise.
Yes. We have this process where they come to us from Frog Pants East. I sign them. I forward them to Tom. He signs them. And then he forwards them back to Frog Pants East. And then people get their stuff. So if you're wondering where your calendars are at and your other stuff, it's coming. It's on its way. Yeah, we're loving that show and having a ball with it. So this weekend, I can confirm Brian Dunaway is one of our guests and working on the second one right now. So we'll let you know who we get.
You know, Dunaway is enough for two.
I know. That's what I told him. I
said, he's if huge.
The other person ripped. Falls out, then we got it. He is ripped. He is one specimen of a man, to be sure. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Ace Detect on Twitter. Catch his tech show daily, every day. So follow him on Twitter. You know when that stuff goes live. And Tom Merritt, it's always fun, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you bet. Talk to you later,
we'll
guys.
See you later.
See you.
Bye now. All righty. He hung up on me this time.
Wow.
That bastard.
Son of a...
Well, intermittent video Skype, we appreciate all your hard work today. Let's get to emails. Emails brought to you by...
Are you a fan of movie news? Do you want to keep on track with the latest movie happenings from around the globe? Then listen to... Off Tracks Podcast. Ooh. Off Tracks Podcast is now available on iTunes. Simply search for Off Tracks Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Off Track 3. Like us on Facebook. Search for Off Tracks Podcast. And come visit our webpage at... OffTracksPodcast.com.
You've not done it the same yet. I can't wait for the other four readings.
I gotta come up with one. I'm gonna do it for the next one.
Three, I guess.
Three, yeah.
Sam and Bilbo, this is Jim writing in, says, can you explain to me why my mother cries when Pete Seeger dies and in the next breath will defend anything Sarah Palin says like it's gospel? She taught me my liberal values, but it seems the whole generation that stopped a war now has flip-flopped. Hell, they took me to see the President's Men in the theater, or all the President's Men in the theater, and now they sound like they want to elect Glenn Beck. I don't get it. Lost in Moose Town, Orlando, Jim.
Mouse Town.
Mouse Town. Yeah. I didn't mean to say moose. I think that there is a... Well, this is proven. The stuff that proves this. Wendy talked about this once. People get more conservative as they get older.
Yeah, yeah.
And even I find myself with like certain fiscal issues and policies like that, I get way more conservative than I used to. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's part of it. Now, when they jump all the way to the other end and want to elect Glenn Beck to do anything, then I call them fringe. That's a little on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No offense to Beck or his people, but whatever. I don't want that guy running stuff.
No. But, I'll say offense to Glenn to
yeah.
Offense to Glenn Beck. I don't want him running things.
Right. But when people get mad just because, well, I don't know, there's so many shades of gray in all of this, but I think that's what it is. I think older people just start to get my brother Mark, who I would call one of the most liberal minded progressive dudes while I was growing up, mm-hmm. is the most ardent hardcore conservative I ever have known now. He's so conservative. So I just think that that's just the way people go. Some people take it much further and some people go a little bit less. Sounds like your mom's gone all the way on the other side. You know, if you think things Sarah Palin says are smart and good, well, mm-hmm. then I don't know what's going on with you. But I also think if you think that, I don't know, everything that, what's that lady on MSNBC? The one that's a super yes. liberal lesbian lady?
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't think of her name. Marlo Jim Job.
Oh my God. But, her name almost came to me. Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow. If you think everything she says is gospel, well then same problem, guys. So I think Brian and I agree on this. Truth's always in the middle someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seek it out. Don't worry about your mom. Everything will be
exactly.
fine. Exactly. Next email from Troy. Troy says, hello, Brian. Sorry. Hello, Bubble and Slime. Bubble and Slime. Gross. I hear that Brian had an adventure led by Siri when heading to the airport. I also had quite the adventure this past weekend, was visiting a friend for the first time, so I had Siri give me directions to his house. Many roads later, Siri told me to turn down this little dirt road, and I think, okay, this is weird. He lives in a new subdivision. So I head down this dirt road, which gets me more and more narrow, or gets more and more narrow, and the houses start to look more and more like shacks. I get to the end of this road, which leads to a decrepit old lean-to, and Siri tells me to park your vehicle and prepare to walk to your destination. I've never had a GPS device tell me to get out and walk, so I downloaded Google Maps, backtracked for about 10 minutes, and eventually made it out alive, barely. Hug a hobo, Troy. Oh, he almost did hug a hobo, it sounds like.
Almost did, yeah.
So I would actually have this to say about this. I think that Siri and the whole Apple Maps thing is actually really good in most metropolitan areas. Like, they're just as good or maybe even better in some cases from most accounts. It's when you get out in the dirt that like both of these things suck. They're just not good.
Yeah.
Like Google did not treat me well a couple of times in parts of Nevada and parts of Arizona. And by the way, we had a big earthquake in St. George.
Oh, really?
Like four points something, yeah. Had a bunch of people say, you don't live down there, do you? I'm like, no.
Is that, you didn't feel anything? It's not close enough that you could,
No, too far. I mean, it takes us 5 hours to get there, so I heard about it.
Oh.
I actually heard about it from a fan, but apparently we got some faults that we're on that we all think we're all awesome here about, and we think California's funny because they keep having earthquakes. We're just waiting for
You're not so far behind.
Yeah. Just thinking all those yuppies out in California are going to go down into the pits, but we're safe somehow. Anyway, thanks for your email, and I hope you don't get lost again. Because that sucks. Tomorrow's Therapy Thursday day, and Wendy and I have a big announcement, so I'm excited about that episode.
Ooh.
We'll bring that up tomorrow, so be here for that.
Not really brother and sister.
Yeah, as it turns out, we have the opposite of Luke and Leia's problem. We should have been making out. Just kidding. Right. Oh, jeez. I'm just saying that. Blah, 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 blah. Be here for that. I'm looking forward to it. As always, we'll have all our regular tomfoolery as well. I want to thank everybody who helps the show be possible. Our guests today, Tom, Nicole, Daryl, and more. And, by the way, people to call in and talk to us on Skype, you can still do that now, because we're back to using this. I got to get the video I'll figure that out.
Yeah. And if you want to be on video, you can be, but you don't have to be.
No, you don't have to be. And I think I figured it out, Brian. What I do is I log in here as the new one. And log in there as my old one.
Oh, okay.
Then that would handle the video instead of me handling the video.
Sure.
And that's the newest version of Skype over there.
Okay. And then you can just plug your camera into that one over there.
And then I'm not the main. Yes, exactly.
Right.
And then I'm not the main. What am I even trying to say? I'm not the main. I'm not the person controlling video, which is where I think the problem's coming in. Because are you using the latest version or are you using an old one?
I'm using an older one.
So am I, but because the new Mac one sucks.
I know. Well, you know what we lose is the ability to pause and unpause to fix audio. So as long as you have that, that's where it needs to be.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. Okay, well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
One way or the other, please visit us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. We're on Facebook. Find us there. You can also find us via email, themorningstream@gmail.com, and on Twitter, morningstream. Scott Johnson and Coverville. Brian, let's do a song.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. So there was a song that Pete Seeger, this is the Pete Seeger Day, if you haven't figured it out, that he wrote in the late 1950s, but it was based on the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes. And then the birds, of course, turned it into a massive, massive hit in 1965. Mm. I'm talking, of course, of Turn, 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 To Everything There Is a Season, or just Turn, Turn, Turn. Great song, and a great song written, sort of, adapted, I should say, by Pete Seeger. Mm. Let's listen to a terrific version of that song that completely turns it on its ear. This is by a band called Red Umbrella, recorded in 2008 for their album Living and Surviving. Forget all you know about the folk music version of Turn, 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 because this will now become your favorite version of this song of all time.
Wow. That's heavy words. Wow.
I'm serious.
Okay. Well, it's Red Umbrella. Right. It's Triple Turn. And I didn't know that was based on some Bible thing. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Shout of the Devil, word. Also based on
kind of, yes.
Book of Ecclesiastes. Yes. true story, guys.
True story.
All right, here we go.
True story.
Hey, Peter. That's all I got.
So well done, though.
It's all I got, though. I can't do anything else. If you said make a sentence out of it, I go, hey, Peter. And I can't even do it.
That's, you can't go any further than that.
Elaine. I can't do even that. I can't even do putty.
That's a typo.
Hey, that's... you got to get that undercarriage. I don't know. See, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Peter, that's all I got. All right, here you go. It's a true story, or no, it's turn.
True story.
And we're going to play that now. When we come back tomorrow, we'll have a whole new show. Please come back then, and our video will work. Thank you, everybody, and have a nice day.
They saw naked people.
There we go.